This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
So here we are again, and I'm so excited to be with you today. I got to ask you a question. You know, this show is about pursuing passion, pursuing purpose, pursuing connection. And we're going to be talking today about relationships. And here's the question. The question is, have you ever had a difficult relationship? I don't know anybody that would say that there hasn't been somebody in their lives that it was difficult, you know, and when there is difficulty, we have to think to ourselves, okay, what part are we playing? What part are they playing? And we have to be responsible for our part. And that's what we're going to do today. We are going to learn how to be better communicators, better in relationships, and we're going to focus on ourselves. What part can we play? But we also we need to understand what it says in the Bible and what each person's responsibilities are. I know for love, you know, when you love somebody, it's you put the other person before yourself. I can say that. I can say that that is what I would say is a definition for love. I want to give you the phone number because I'm opening the phone lines up and I want to hear from you. The phone number is 888-995-5552. Again, 888-995-5552. I have somebody that is returning on our show, and he drives all the way from Orange County to come sit with me so I can see him face to face. And I love that because I'm a relational person. I really like to have communication when I can see the person in front of me. And there's body language. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on. So it's just really wonderful to be face to face. So I really appreciate him driving all the way here to be with you today. And the person's name is Scott Meekum. And he grew up in Utah and became a Christian at the age of 19 while in the Navy. After completing his military enlistment, he pursued academia. He counseled and served in various ministry positions while achieving several undergraduate and postgraduate degrees, including master's degrees in both theology and psychology. Scott formed his nonprofit Biblical Christian Counseling Organization several years ago and works full-time counseling out of two offices. He serves as staff counselor for a large church in Orange County and occasionally teaches postgraduate classes in a local university. Scott's distinct style of biblical Christian counseling blends the best of psychology with the truth and grace of Scripture. Love that word, grace. Scott attributes his unusually high success rate helping marriages and individuals heal and reconcile to the practical, biblically derived relationship tools, which he says both equip his clients and reframe their thinking to align with God's thinking about self, others, and circumstances. I am so happy to have you back in here again, Scott. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sue, for letting me come back. I am so honored to be here. I'm excited about what we're going to be sharing or however God's going to use this. I'm ready.
Yes, we've been talking before we came on the radio, and I was asking you questions, you know, because, you know, I watch people, like in restaurants. I'm a people watcher, and I watch people in restaurants, and you can tell who has a close relationship, whether they're touching, you know, their toes are touching under the table or they're touching. You can tell who is connected, and you can tell the people that aren't, that are sitting there, maybe the husband's reading the paper and the wife's talking to him, but he's not even giving her eye contact. You know, there's all these little nonverbals that say so much, isn't
there?
Body
language, right.
Yes.
There is.
Yeah.
And you can read body language. Actually, body language is over 70% of communication before I even open my mouth. So what I say with my body sends you messages. And you're reading that all the time. Mm-hmm. And that makes you feel safe or unsafe with me.
And that word safe and unsafe is really important in a relationship, isn't it?
Those are, actually, that's one of the things that is non-negotiable in a healthy relationship is to feel safe. Not safe physically only, but emotionally safe, mentally safe, verbally safe. If you don't feel safe, then really you have the responsibility and the right to share that with the person that you're with or people that you're with. Right now, I'm not really feeling safe the way this is happening, so I want to communicate that to you so that you can change this. Let's do something different.
Right, and then the other person's responsibility would be that they would hopefully want to make that other person feel safe.
Yes.
And so in the one person being honest with their feelings about how they're feeling right now, then the other person's responsibility is to try to set that at ease, if at all possible. Sometimes maybe it's not possible, huh?
Well, I think that it's always possible for us to love each other, because God would not command us to love one another as I have loved you if it were not possible.
So it is possible.
It is possible.
And we have to find the way to make it possible.
That's right. And love is both a feeling and a decision. It is both. When he says, for God so loved the world, God made the decision, and then he made us recipients to receive his love. And that is an awesome, it just blows my mind that God would love me like that. So he commands us to unconditionally agape. That Greek word agape means no strings attached all the time. When you don't feel like it, it doesn't matter if they've earned it or they deserve it. You are bound to make the other person feel loved all the time, 24/7.
And if that doesn't happen, then there needs to be communication, and somehow we have to work out a way to make that happen. We have a caller on the phone already. Her name is Phyllis. She's calling us from L.A., and her question... Go ahead, Phyllis. What's your question?
My question is there ever a time when it's time to throw the towel in, when you see a couple that they've tried, they use the word of God, maybe one person does, and the other has such destructive behaviors and doesn't seem to want to do anything to nurture the relationship? Is there ever a time when you just say, you know what, maybe this relationship, this marriage never should have happened, and it looks that way. It looks that way. And maybe it's time to just say, and I'm not using the simple term of irreconcilable differences. I'm talking destructive, ugly behavior for the children, for the whole family, and it just looks like there's no more love, there's no more life. Is there ever a time when you just need to say, God, I give this to you, and I need to leave now?
Let me answer that question, Phyllis. I believe that there are times when a person, a child of God, I'm talking about someone who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, not this terminology, everybody's God's children type of thing. No, I'm talking about a follower of Jesus Christ. There are times when people who are professing followers of Christ need to separate from their spouse. And of course, we know the biblical exits for divorce. But I'm talking about when you said a person's behavior is destructive. Well, what does that mean? I mean, it can be destructive physically, yes, of course, but it can be destructive emotionally. A person can be torn down emotionally until they... I've had wives actually tell me, I started wondering if I was crazy. I actually started wondering if I was insane because I started buying into my husband's mental abuse. And so what happens, Phyllis, is I have couples physically separate. And the only way that I support a separation is if they do it my way. And my way is when both of them fill out the forms that I've created in the past, and they work on the issues that are designated that they both need to see changed in the other person in order to feel safe, loved, and respected in this relationship. And when couples do that, Phyllis, I have seen couples just recently, this last summer, I remarried a couple. Both of them had affairs on the other person. and they came to me hopeless, wanting to know, is there any hope for us, or should we just go our separate ways? No, they did what I said. They separated physically. They did go through the steps of healing and transformation. Philippians 4, excuse me, Philippians 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So as couples learn how to be transformed in their thinking, then their feelings change and then their actions change. So I think, I feel, I do.
Well, can I just say that that would take an acknowledgement on both sides that there's things that need to be worked on. And if one person is saying, you know, it's all you, and the other feels a lot like it is them, but yet they don't know how to change the other, you know, I guess, and I hear what you're saying, and that's what I believe. So I guess there is hope if you get the right type of help.
Yes.
And both people agree to accept the help, if that's kind of what you're saying.
That's exactly right, Phyllis. There's hope, but both people have to look at their side of the street and say, I will do what God commands me to do to walk with him uprightly before him in obedience to his command. I will do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to draw this boundary and separate myself from you because you are an unhealthy influence in my life. You pull me down. You pull me away from God. Your influence is detrimental in my walk with God and in my own personal health.
Okay. Thank you very much for that answer.
Phyllis, I thank you so much. And you know what? I know that that question is, there's quite a few people in there, both men and women, that are asking that question. And so I really thank you for being brave enough to get on the air and ask that question. And there are times, aren't there times where, you know, is there ever a time? Her question was, is there ever a time where you do? Let's say that you have a partner who chooses not to do it your way or the counselor's way and just decides to stay with the way they are and not accept responsibility and not pursue the Lord or pursue the relationship. Then what?
Well, I've had people come to me and say, you know, I've been in this relationship and I've given it my all. I've done everything I can, and it's been years I've invested into this. And my spouse is so unhealthy and destructive to me that I literally, my only escape is to consider taking my life because I have got to get out of this relationship because I don't. My spouse has not committed adultery. They profess to be saved, although I can't show. I don't see the fruit in it, but and my children are not in danger, and I'm not in danger physically. They're not threatening to kill me, so I really am in danger for my own life in that I can't live this way. When it goes that far, I believe that the only option is for you to say, I will remove myself, and when you decide to change, then come and let's go together. When you decide to obey God, then you come and see me. I've got a client right now who's filed twice for divorce. She's letting it go through a second time. And I said, no, you need to let it go through. And when he's ready to do what God wants, then you can both come and see me. But until then, he is destroying your life, literally.
Right. So there is a time where you have to draw a line
yes.
in the sand because the Lord loves you as a person and he doesn't want you to be hurting like that for a long period of time. You're his child, you know? So there is that struggle. I see that struggle and I hear that struggle a lot and I never know, you know, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure, you know, because I know that God hates divorce. He hates it. And it's a tragedy because there's a ripple effect and it affects so many people. So that's just a tough one. But I do believe that each one of us, we have to protect if the relationship is not safe. there's got to be something that we need to do to say it's not safe.
And that's where I believe that separation is an opportunity for us to get alone. And what I say is, okay, the wife and kids stay in the house, the husband leaves. That's the way it goes. And of course, no husband likes to hear that, but that's the way it goes. And you've got, well, we don't have enough money for us to separate and do this. That's something that you're going to have to figure out. But what is more important is God's glory and you obeying God and letting this transform your thinking and therefore feelings and therefore behavior so that your spouse does feel safe, loved, and respected, because they don't right now.
You know, there's a lot of, when I talk to men and women, and men will say, you know, gosh, men are just so simple. Men are not difficult. They're just very simple. Women are the difficult ones. They're the ones that are just so innate. There's so many parts, moving parts, and men just don't know what to do. And, you know, it's true. We're not trained. All we know is what we grew up with. And so, you know, the dysfunction that we grew up with, that's all we know. We don't know what else to do. So there is no class 101. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I love that churches have, you know, premarital training and classes so that they can learn, like, how to fight fair. You know, if you're going to have an argument, what is okay to do? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, those types of things. You know, just what are the tools, you know, and give the tools. But for a lot of us, I know for me, you know, you grow up in dysfunction, so now what? You know, it's like, okay, where do you start? What do you do? So I don't really know where I'm going with that question, other than I know that we need to be trained and we need to know what's good and what's not good. I do know, though, that there is a sense of, you know, that did not feel right, you saying that to me. And we can either accept. I've heard fathers and mothers say bad things to their children, things that should not be said, like, you're such a pig, let's say. That's horrible to say to your child, you're such a pig. Well, as a child, we don't know to say, I'm going to put my buffer, my filter on right now, and I'm not going to receive that, because that's not what God says about me, right? Mm-hmm. The kids aren't, they don't know that. They don't know that they can put that buffer on there. And this is for some people I know right now that are listening that have had parents where they said bad things to the children. And it wounds us to the core when our parents say things like this. And we have to learn as an adult that we can say, you know what, that's not truth. I'm not going to believe that about me, because that's really not true. Then you get into a relationship and you've got someone else that's saying these things. And then you have to say that, you know what, I don't receive that. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I'm not going to receive it, because that's not true. That's not the truth. What God says about me is da 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 da. Right?
Yes, that's right. You cannot give away what you don't have. So when we grow up not being mentored or taught tools and how to work healthy relationships and how to draw boundaries, how to set limits on what people can do, then we don't have those tools. Then we end up encouraging unhealthy relationships. And that's something that I do all the time, is I mentor men how to love their wives. Men do not know how to love their wives. And most men have not felt loved by God, and so they can't love their wives,
right,
because they've not felt by God.
Ephesians 5 talks about that.
Yes.
And, you know, God makes the man accountable for his family. And so, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Does the wife submit to the husband first and respect him first?
Okay, well, let's answer that.
Who
initiated, this love affair between God and us, anyway? It was Jesus who came out of heaven. It was God who created all things, who, with everything in mind, knowing the end from the beginning, he said that he created this knowing that he was going to one day settle all the questions at the end of time and at the judgment seat of Christ. But in the meantime, Jesus came out of heaven to seek us out. He pursued us. He loved us first before we could love him. And so now we're responding to that love. So in a marriage relationship, the husband is Jesus. He's supposed to pursue the wife. He's supposed to love her unconditionally. And Ephesians says that husbands love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So, Sue, when my wife was alive, before the Lord took her home 4 years ago after our fight with cancer, what I used to ask myself, Lord, what is it that I can do today that will be sacrificial to make my wife feel loved, and I'm doing it with a good heart. I'm doing it with a good attitude. I don't want to live on yesterday's victories. What can I do today? Because I'm supposed to be Jesus in the relationship, initiating the love. And wives are responders. Women are responders. They're not supposed to be leaders. They don't want to lead. They want their husbands to lead. And so when a husband decides, I'm going to step up and be a spiritual leader, that's kind of scary for most men because they haven't been taught how to do that. Uh-huh. But I teach men how to do that. And if men will seek God, God says, seek me with all your heart, then you'll find me in Jeremiah 29.
That word pursue is so important. And, you know, my show is about pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. And the pursuit is so important to me because, you know, we need to pursue the Lord because he says to love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body, and love thy neighbor as thyself, Matthew. With that, how do you do that? How do you love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body? You pursue him, and how do you do that? Well, you have to learn who he is and what he stands for and just, you know, how he feels, what he thinks. How do you do that? You read the Bible, and you pray. You get in the Word, and you spend time with him, right?
Yes.
So the question with this is, when you're pursuing your wife, all pursuits aren't the same, and you have to learn what's important to your wife.
You know,
and not just your wife, your children. It's the pursuit of whoever it is you want to love. You have to pursue them in the language. Love languages, I love that one. But you have to pursue them in their language. So how do you do that? Can you ask the question, how can I love you the most? What would make you feel the most loved?
Yes.
Would that be a good question for a husband to ask his wife?
That would be a great question for a husband to ask his wife. What could I do right now that would make you feel loved?
Oh, great question, men. Write that question down. What can I do? And then wives, be honest.
It's funny. When I was dating my wife, we were married 34 years. But
awesome.
When
That's
we were
wonderful.
Dating, I used to bring her chocolates and fresh flowers. And about 3 months into it, she said to me, Scott, I don't want to hurt your feelings because I know you worked so hard for this to buy these things. I don't eat chocolates because I don't want to get fat, so I give them away. And then fresh flowers to me are a waste of money. You know, it's a bad investment.
I'm right with your wife. I feel the same exact way.
So we try to find out what is it that makes our wives feel loved on their terms.
That's right. And that's a question you can ask. You know, wives, I don't think the women are expecting the husband to be a mind reader. I don't think that they really want that. They just want the man to ask the question. But how often do the men not ask? How often do they not ask those questions? That's not a difficult question. Another one I suggest is, you know, how am I doing from 1 to 10 right now? How am I doing? And then when the wife gives you a 5 and you're thinking you're on a 9, obviously, you know, the next question should be, how do I get from a 5 to a 9, right?
Yes.
I mean, that would be a simple one, wouldn't it?
That would be great.
Yes.
And the thing is, us men, we unfortunately, we're guilty of arrogance and anger, usually.
Yeah.
Arrogance and anger. Those are our nemesis. For women, they do get arrogant sometimes and angry sometimes, but usually it's fear that sabotages women.
Mm-hmm.
Fear. And so we men need to have a teachable spirit, listening to our wives. Okay, honey, if you just changed this, I would feel more loved by you. If you stopped doing this and started doing that, I would feel sacrificially loved by you.
How often in your marriage counseling do you have a scenario where the woman is very verbal and vocal and has no problem speaking what's on her mind, and the husband will say, she's so critical, no matter what I do, it's not right, it's not good enough, no matter what I do, because she's trying to direct him and help him to love her more and be better at it, but he's assuming or taking it as critical?
Well, that happens all the time.
And is there a way a woman could do something different to make that not, or is that the guy's issue?
Well, I think...
tough question.
A couple of things. number one, I'm a big tool person.
Uh-huh.
When I started counseling many years ago, I decided that I would equip the people that come to see me with tools, relationship mm-hmm. tools.
And that's
that
nice.
Transform really their thinking.
That's great.
And transform the way that they behave and they feel. So then I hold them accountable for doing the tools.
Mm.
When they come back to see me, let me see your tools. What have you written down? One of the tools that I have is called Caring on Purpose. And so that tool is, for example, on one side, the husband, the both of them have the tool, okay, on their side, she'll write down, if you do any of these things, these one-liners for me, the result is I will feel safe, loved, respected, those kind of positive things.
That's
and
awesome.
And so the husband has his list as well. They put those down, and then they go through those things. They start doing the things that the spouse says works.
Those tools are awesome. And, you know, we're not given these tools when we're growing
right.
up and whatnot. So to have somebody just tell me what to do, tell me what to do, and I'll do it, right?
Yeah.
Well, now you're giving tools that are giving them the tools in order to know what to do to get it right. And if they need coaching or anything, you give that to them. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
So we're back, and I cannot believe 30 minutes has already gone by, and so I'm going to talk faster, Scott, because we have so much to cover, and I'm just really excited about this because it's so necessary. You know, relationships are just hard. They're just hard. The phone number here is 888-995-5552, and I've got a question for the callers. What would you change about your relationship that could give you more hope? I think that's a really good question. And we were going to ask the callers that? Is that what we were doing?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the question. What would you change about your relationship that could give you hope? So you call right now if you have a suggestion or what you think would change to give the relationship hope. Phone number 888-995-5552, and we're going to keep on talking. You know, we were talking about safe and how the husband is required or responsible for loving his wife. That's where we were. If you're just tuning in, that's what we're talking about is husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. And what does that look like and what does that mean? It's self-sacrificial. It's putting that wife before yourself.
But it's sacrificing with a good heart. You know, that's the...
Not woe is me?
That's the qualifier, is that it has to be with a good spirit because... we do it unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing this. Yeah, I'm doing this for you. I'm taking the trash out for you because you asked me to. But I'm doing this unto the Lord. So I'm actually, this is a Matthew 6 laying up treasures in heaven dynamic that I'm doing right now. And so thank you for that opportunity to lay up treasures in heaven and glorify our Savior by the way that I treat you. But this is not just one-sided. Not only is a husband required to sacrificially, with a good heart attitude, love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, but the other side is that the wife is commanded to do two things. One is submit to them as unto the Lord, and the second thing is make them feel respected.
Yes, but it's in Ephesians at the very end, because I've had this brought to me, is Ephesians is to submit one to another. So we're called to submit one to another.
Yes.
It must be more difficult for the wife to submit. No, well, I don't think so.
Well, you know what? When a husband is actively following Christ and the Holy Spirit is on the throne of his life and the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit are flowing through his life as a natural byproduct of him walking with God, the wife has no problem submitting to his leadership.
That would be easy because she would feel totally secure and trustworthy. He would be trustworthy and safe.
But that's not a suggestion. It's a command.
Yes.
It's a command.
Yes.
Husbands, you do this first, and wives, then you submit to their leadership because they're following me, and show respect to them.
Right.
And do it as unto Jesus. Do
right.
it unto Jesus.
And it causes things to go haywire when we don't do what God tells us to do. It kind of makes
right.
things not fall into place. We have a caller. Her name is Judith. And she wants to make a comment. She's been married 45 years. Judith, you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for calling.
Oh, thank you.
45 years.
I want to say that I have always felt adored by my husband.
Oh, that's so
he
wonderful.
He thinks I'm the most wonderful person in the world. We both, as teenagers, before we knew each other, were involved in church and had a relationship with Christ and had decided to be abstinent until marriage. And that's what we did, and never have gone to bed with anybody else before or after, but that gave not just a lot of trust, also a wonderful sex life.
Well, that's always good.
You know, and there's something because we raised a lot of kids and foster kids, and we were on the same page in our desire to touch other lives. So
you had a mission. You had a ministry in your marriage. You had a mission, and you both were on the same page.
Yeah, we didn't, have it all planned out before, but we just had this desire to, reach others. And some friends were foster parents, and they said, that they had thought of going to the mission field, but they started having, a large family, and they said, this is a mission. And we realized, wow, that really is. And there are a number of, I call them kids, but they're, 50 now, and still in touch with. But I wanted to say, if this isn't too personal, but I'd be sometimes exhausted by the end of the day, as all married women, especially mothers, would know. And, my husband would mention about, let's go to bed. And I think, oh, no. give me a rest. And I thought, wait a minute, this is really fun. And so I thought, why not?
So even when you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's great.
You get into the, you make choices all your life. You make choices. And And I think it was my husband that would first say, it's not a 50-50 relationship. It's not, you give 50 and I'll give 50. It's 100-100.
Right on.
You give everything in support of your spouse, and it comes back to you manyfold.
That's very good advice for a 45-year marriage. That's really good advice.
And he's been disabled for some time. He's been in a nursing home for 5 years. He gets so discouraged after being so active and just I can't believe looking back how much we did, but and pursued and completed both of us degrees in the middle of our marriage and ended up teaching.
Judith, that's awesome.
But he is still, you never know, the one little CNA in the nursing home that you might encourage, and he gets to know their names. He
yes.
asks about their families. Always encourages them, just one class at a time, go for your RN, you know. Just
so he's your best friend, Judith?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Right. And you guys
yes.
have both put the other person before yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
even when you're tired, you take care of your man. I get
oh,
it.
Yes.
Thank you, Judith, so much for calling.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. So that was really good advice from a lady who's been married 45 years. And what I got from that and what tugged my heart is that he adored her.
Mm.
And I didn't ask her what he did that made her feel adored. And I think, wouldn't it be different? Is it different with different people that you counsel for a woman? Is it different or is it always the same? Is it, you know what, the husband just looking at the wife and saying, you are so beautiful to me? Or is it different from what you've found with all the marriages you've counseled? Is it different?
Well, you know, the book, The Five Love Languages,
yes.
I tell all my couples, make your goal every day. And one of the things I require all my couples to do is have weekly date nights. And so at every date, their goal is to do all five love languages, all five. So you're going to do
fun.
All five. Every you have this mental checklist that you go through, and it's always you might only get four done that night, but that's so.
That's the homework. And just a little side note, a little advertisement for me. If you go to Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word .com, there is a video on there. If you go to the TV, Sue Free's TV, and there's a video on there where I'm riding a unicycle, and it happened 2 weeks before I had my shattered leg accident, and. On the unicycle, I am talking and explaining what the five languages, love languages are and what they kind of mean. So if you have a chance, go to Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and click on Sue Free's the TV and the unicycle one. You'll see me on a unicycle and just click on it and I talk about the love languages. And so what you're saying is that you have a homework assignment. You probably see, do you see everybody like once a week or once a month or at first probably at
we
least
we start
once
out
a
once a week.
Yeah.
If it's severe, we see more often than that. So it depends on their need. But everyone needs to feel loved.
All those
both
five love
men
love
and
love
women both need to feel loved.
Yes, they
men
do.
Men need to feel loved just like women do.
Yeah.
Men like to feel pursued like
right.
women like to feel pursued. And both of the husband and wife need to be given permission to be initiators in their love relationship, in
yes.
the romancing.
Absolutely.
And I was talking to a couple this week who've they've been married, I think, close to 30 years, and they're having trouble with their romance. And so we talked about the basics of romancing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that when you hit the empty nest syndrome, that you find, wow, you know, I don't even know who you are.
Right.
We've spent all of our lives
taking care of the kids,
looking at our kids and trying to help them grow up and provide for them. And we've been trying to make a living. Now I don't know who you are. So we have to learn how to fall in love all over again.
Right.
And
you know, the little things, I hear about little things too. You know, like how your wife drinks her coffee or how your husband likes, I don't know, his eggs. I don't know. Just whatever. But looking at just those little things for a woman, I don't know, is it the same for a man? But for a woman, those little things, just knowing how she drinks her coffee, you know, just those little things, they mean so much.
It is always the little things, Sue. It's always the little things that mean a lot. I remember when I had surgery one time, my wife said she would come to see me. I used to listen for her walking down the hallway in the hospital. I could tell her walk. And when she was walking, I could tell that was her coming down the hallway to see me, to visit me in the hospital. And that was a big thing to me. The fact that she would take the time to come and see me 10 minutes after work and then go home and rest.
That meant a lot to you.
It's always the little things.
Right.
It's the little things that disappear that we value. It's saying, holding your hand and praying with you before you leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's It's just caring without... it's looking for excuses to brag about you, to you.
That sounds wonderful. Okay, man, did you get that? Did you get that? You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. We are simulcasted now, which is really wonderful. You know, we go to San Diego and up to Santa Maria, and then, of course, the internet. You know, it can be heard anywhere. So if you've heard something that you feel could be helpful to somebody else that you know and love, please pass the word on that you can go on to Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and you can... listen to any of the podcasts that we've had. I've been on the show for almost 2 years now. Can you believe that?
Wow.
2 years. That's amazing to me. Yeah, it is.
I can't imagine all the wonderful things that have happened because you've taken time to dedicate your life to this ministry. And I'm flabbergasted. I think that's fantastic.
You are known by your fruit. Right?
That's so true.
You are known by your fruit.
That's so true.
Right. And there's going to be people that judge you along the way, but you're going to be known by your fruit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what are the non-negotiables in a relationship? I heard you mention that, and I'm like, okay, what are those non-negotiables?
Well, we must always feel safe, loved, and respected. Those three things, safe, loved, and respected. That's Ephesians 5, again, 21 through 33. And, of course, there are other verses in the Bible, but... I go back to that because that's such a simple formula for marriage and a successful marriage. And God would not command us to do something we cannot do. But we've always got to feel safe, loved, and respected. So let's say, for example, I'm not feeling those three things right now.
Okay.
Then what I say to you is, excuse me, Sue, the way that this is happening right now does not feel safe, loving, and respectful to me, so I need to stop and let you know that. Now, what you do with that is up to you. So what I need from you is to change something about what you're doing in our relationship that will result in me feeling safe, loved, and respected. So now your response would be, okay, what is it that would help you feel safe, loved, and respected that I can do differently? And that's where communication comes in.
That's so good, and it's just asking those simple questions, but they just don't seem to be so simple when you're in the middle of the situation. You know, I was talking to someone about our emotions, and people say, you know, you don't make decisions on feelings, you know. And I say, okay, we don't make decisions on feelings, but God put our feelings, our emotions there for a reason, right? I mean, when people say, okay, well, that person's really angry. Well, I've learned that anger is usually coming from hurt. A lot of the times it's a defense mechanism because somebody's hurt. So they lash out, not with, oh, that hurt me, but you know, right back, you know? So if our emotions and our feelings are put there for a reason, God put them there for a reason. And if they're there for a reason, then we need to pay attention to them. I would think that we can't deny what we're feeling. We can't. And somebody can't say you shouldn't feel that way, you know, because that's not really healthy. You can't tell somebody they shouldn't feel what they're feeling. They're feeling it because they're feeling it, whatever it is, right?
Well, feelings are not right or wrong. They just are, and I know that's trite, but it is true. what feelings do is negative feelings reveal that I have an unmet need.
Okay.
And so my job is to communicate to you what my negative feeling is. Right now, Sue, I'm feeling afraid. Okay, so you would say, okay, Scott, would you unpack that so I can see that through your eyes? What's afraid mean to you right now? And so I say, well, I feel afraid because you slammed the door hard, and that made me feel afraid because it reminded me when my dad used to slam the door when I was little, and that was scary for me.
Right.
So you say, well, what do you need? I need to feel the opposite of that. I need to feel safe. Well, okay, Scott, what would make you feel? Well, for you to close the door softly. Could you try to do that? You say, that makes sense to me, Scott. I will from now on try to do that for you.
Right.
That's just simply using feelings as a springboard for healthy communication. So I think, which determines what I feel, which determines what I do. So that's why God's word tells us, think on these things, whatever things are true, pure, lovely, just, noble, because what I think determines what I feel, determines how I act, the decisions I make. So we fill our mind with the Word of God, and when we do, then we start feeling the way God wants us to feel about each other, and then we start acting consistent with those feelings and thoughts.
So communication's key, isn't it?
So it is absolutely, without question. We don't know how to communicate, so we have to be taught how to express ourselves and feel safe doing it, not being criticized.
So is there tools for effective communication? You
yes.
went over the carrying on purpose.
There are many tools that I've created. The simplest, shortest one is called Three Ones. I call that the check-in, Three Ones. And that is that I share with you one appreciation, one thing I appreciate about you. Then I share one feeling, a negative feeling word. And then I share one need with you. The Three Ones, one appreciation, one feeling, one need. And so that's a short, simple communication tool that helps me to put on the table what's going on inside of me.
That kind of reminds me, you know, being in a business world and being a businesswoman, you know, I try to hone my skills of communication and management of people, because it's all about the people in relationships, right? So,
yes.
You know, and in business, I don't know, for some reason, I seem to do better there. And I look and identify the problem, and then I figure out what the solutions might be. And there's always usually more than one solution to any given situation. You know, first it's sort of a problem, but then it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to
yes.
get better at something.
Yes.
And I love to get better at things, you know. And if things got too easy, there would be no challenge, and then I would move on, because there's just not a challenge. I like a challenge, you know, but I also like to feel like we're making progress. You know, there's got to be progress, and there's got to be a pursuit. And I love that word pursuit, because I remember dating, you know. Do you ever, you know, listeners, you remember dating? And there's a pursuit that goes on with dating.
Yes.
And I hear women all the time say, "What happened?" I say, "I do," and then there's no pursuit. It just stops right there. And then you hear the man say, "Well, what do you mean? I have to tell you I love you every day. Isn't once enough?" Right? And it's like, not. It's not enough.
No,
right?
That's not enough. So it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a lifestyle. A way, that's why I shared with you that I used to ask the Lord each day, what can I do differently today that would result in my wife feeling loved sacrificially, that I will have a good spirit doing, because it becomes a way of thinking, a lifestyle, how to love one another, because God has given us relationships to prepare us for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we can't run away from relationships. We have to learn how to do them right on God's terms. And that means, like Paul said, I die daily. Well, you know, I have to learn how to die to myself so that Jesus can live. And when he's alive, then you feel all the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit flowing through me.
That's awesome. Well, so we've got like 9 minutes, not even left. So, you know, you've counseled a lot of married couples, and I'm sure you've counseled other people too. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, pointing the finger in the other direction, and it's the other person's fault for, you know, what things have happened. And I would bet that, you know, it's usually not just one person that causes, you know, the relationship to be what it is. Healthy boundaries are really important, aren't they, in a relationship?
Healthy boundaries are absolutely a must. We've got to have healthy boundaries. The problem is that most people don't grow up learning what boundaries are. They don't have a concept about how do I draw a boundary, and how do I respect other people's boundaries. And so I end up as a counselor learning to teach people about boundaries. You know, you just have to take people by the hand and show them how to draw boundaries. For example, if, let's say, a husband walks in the door and his wife is doing dishes, he goes over to her to give her a hug, and so she lets him give her a hug, and so as he's giving her a hug, he's holding her close as she's doing the dishes, and so in the past, when she's allowed him to do that, he thinks, oh, she wants to go to bed. She wants to go jump in the sack with me right now. That's why she's letting me do this. No, that's not what she's... She just wants...
A hug.
A hug. That's all she wants.
Just a hug.
Just a hug.
That's it.
Nothing else.
Doesn't need to go any further.
Let me... I'll tell you when I want anything else, you know.
But I just want to finish the dishes.
Healthy boundaries. Right. So the way that we nurture each other with our physical touch, nurturing touch, is a boundary, a good example of a boundary.
Right. That's healthy very boundaries. Good. And that takes communication, too, because he might be misinterpreting the signs.
Yes.
You know, because she's saying, oh, that's sweet, honey. Thank you for giving me a hug. And he's thinking, oh, boy, she's ready. Let's go.
Yeah.
And she's saying, no, let me finish the dishes.
Yeah. Well, one thing I'd like to just add real quick about sex in a relationship is that healthy, fulfilling sex does not happen in a marriage unless four prerequisites are being done.
Oh, hurry up and tell us what they are.
Number one, spiritual intimacy is being experienced with each other.
Okay.
Me and God and me and you. That's first. Okay. Secondly, verbal intimacy is being experienced with me and God. I have learned how to pray with God and adore him with my words. And then I learn how to adore you with my words. That's verbal intimacy. Thirdly, physical, non-sexual, nurturing touch, intimacy is going on. And then fourthly, emotional intimacy. I've learned how to open my heart and let you in and talk with you about things that I feel and feel safe doing that. And when those four things are happening, Sue,
then everything
the
else
natural next step pulls us into sexual intimacy.
That's awesome. Yeah, my mother used to say, you know, that's the icing on the cake. Everything else has to be good, and that's the icing on the cake.
Yes.
I didn't know when I was little what she was talking about, but I understand a lot more now.
That's actually the title.
So that's really super good. So if any one of these is not in alignment, it's going to cause the next step to not be as fulfilling as if we focused and got these things in line, then, oh my gosh, look out.
Yes.
I think that's what you're saying.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's the title of my book, The Five Stages of Intimacy, which I'm almost finished writing. So I'm excited.
I cannot wait to get that. This is Scott Meekum, and he's a family counselor in Orange County. And if you go on the website, you'll be able to get his connection information. So if you have a desire, I actually have somebody personally that's meeting with Scott, and I'm very excited about what's going to happen there. And that was really good. And intimacy, I was told, is into me see. Isn't that good? Because isn't that true?
Yes.
That's what intimacy is.
Yes.
It's into me, see?
Yes.
I want you to see inside me. I want you to know me from the inside out. Yes. I want you to know my inner thoughts and my inner feelings. I want you to know me.
Yes.
And that's part of the adoring, is that you are so focused on that. I also heard another one is, God, please make me the kind of person my dog thinks I am. Because they are the most unconditional lovers that, you know, we can learn a lot from our dogs, can't we? I love
That's
my little
good.
Doggies. I really do. And I want to be the kind of person my dog thinks I am. How about you? Isn't that good?
I love that. That's good. I'll have to remember that.
So is there anything else you want to say? We're almost done.
Well, I think, let me just say that in every couple that walks in my door, whatever problem they present, whatever that looks like, I know that their first and greatest need is spiritual with me and God. It's just individually, both of you, how are you doing with your relationship with God? Talk to me about that. And first of all, introduce me to your God. Describe what he's like. Tell me what he's like. Tell me what makes him feel good. Tell me what disappoints him. Give me a picture of his personality. And when I have people do that sometimes, I have said to some people, you know what? You need a new God because your God is not a good God.
Mm-hmm.
He's disappointed you. He's given you more than you can bear. You're not liking life. It's not fulfilled. So you need a good God. I'd like to suggest my God to you. And his name is Jesus Christ. And let me introduce you to him through the Word of God, the Bible.
And that's awesome. And so you go through who God is, according to the Bible, what it says.
Yes.
And that's awesome.
The character of God.
That's great. And then do you teach people who God says they are?
Yes.
Because that's really good, too.
That's
There's
another tool.
There's a lot
tool.
of healing in that, isn't there?
That's
Just
another tool.
Knowing who we are in Christ. Okay, so, wow, thank you so much for being on the show again. I just thank you so much.
Thank you, Sue, for having me.
There's so much need here in this relationship category. So thank you and God bless. And listeners, thank you so much for being on board with us today. And we'll talk to you again next week. God bless. Make yourself a blessing to someone today. Bye.
You are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.